Hello, I'm doing this podcast on knife sharpening. The sound you hear when you're actually honing a blade, that yip sound. But if you listen to it, it's more about the knowledge that you find out, the hidden knowledge or folklore knowledge about it. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I explain things scientific or delve into scientific things. The background to it is there's two aspects. I'm trying to learn how to podcast and explain things more clearly. Coherently off the top of my head, and in this case I was going up to Springwood in the Blue Mountains, another 10 kilometres up the mountains, to have an ultrasound of a surgical sort of cyst, I suppose, to have a look at it. And I went with my friend into a knife shop afterwards. They were actually looking for just kitchen implements, and we had a bit of a discussion about knives, and fascinated to see these very expensive knives and the folklore about getting very sharp knives. Myself personally, I sort of live with a slightly dull, blunt knife and take a bit more time cutting, but for the aficionados, the people who really know their knives, they want it very sharp. Now, those people listening from the USA and other places, people will know Crocodile Dundee, our Aussie superhero of the 1980s, who said, "That's not a knife, this is a knife," actually bringing up a large knife, which for all intents and purposes looked a very impractical knife to stay sharp. So we're looking at these knives, and this person said, "Oh, we've got different sharpening blocks, and you have to draw it across. You have to draw your knife across and listen to that familiar sound." And he said, "Look, I've got some surprising information for you. It's not that you have to keep on sharpening your knife with a sharpening block made out of diamond impregnated carbon or some other sharpening material, and then dull it again or sharpen it again by strapping it against leather. It's not that you have to do that all the time. It's just by doing it regularly, you get the skill up to actually sharpen up the knife and keep the angle correct, the angle of attack, which is, depending on a very sharp knife, it's 14 degrees on opposite sides, gives you a 28 degree blade. For a kitchen knife, it's 20 degrees on either side, gives you more rugged, gives you a 40 degree apex." And he said, "Look, you're not actually keeping your knife sharp, you're honing your skills of doing it." And he offered this information that although customers often ask for a really good honing block and all the best equipment, it's depend on how often they do it and their skill, and that some 40% of men can't hear the knife. By the time they're old, they can't actually hear the frequency that they should be listening to. And I sort of listened up to this. This is a very interesting thing, that the actual honing of a knife, you have this higher pitch noise, which you actually can't hear, and you have to listen to that noise. And when you hear it, you can keep a knife properly sharp. And he then said, for people who don't know how to do this, I recommend this ceramic knife, another interesting thing with it. And so I thought, this is really fascinating. Can he explain more? And then I suppose I added a bit of my own sort of understanding that you've got a knife blade, it will lock and not move and interact with your blade, your honing block. You pull it back and it will release and jump, and this will create a higher frequency sound. You'll hear this high frequency sound. So this is related to a resonant frequency, a hopping frequency, and this high frequency is the small little steps of moving across. And when you come to think of it, you can actually think of the speed of sound in the knife, in the blade. This high frequency represents an inching process, where it grabs, releases, and re-engages at a certain wavelength inside your knife. So I found that very interesting to contemplate, and whether you could actually hook up an acoustic microphone to your block and actually display your honing efficiency. This is what I immediately thought. And in general, I suppose the ideas behind it is that this is more folklore, and I was looking at the more scientific aspects for it. So this is the idea that you put an acoustic pickup and can actually measure this, and it can actually read out on a dial the effectiveness if you can no longer hear it, and if you're relying on the fact that people have to, like a butcher or someone like that, has to keep their knives continually honed. This sort of reminded me to think, oh well, look, you could put some sort of actuator on your knife to put ultrasound along it and get your knife to actually be moving all the time and cut. Sawing action as it cuts through. A more crude thing, which I suppose gives a bit of haptic feedback. And this is something which I'd like to sort of add. You think, oh, this is scientifically crazy, but the surgeons which actually cut you open use something called an ultrasonic scalpel. So they have an ultrasonic transducer which puts ultrasonic frequency down the scalpel. So the scalpel no longer has to actually put very much force on it to actually cut the flesh, and the ultrasound oscillates so intensely that it actually heats up the edge of the blade, so it cauterizes as it cuts. So sort of a Star Wars thing which is done, and I know that wasn't common in the 80s, but is now very common in Australia in the 90s and beyond. This is an ultrasonic scalpel for cutting. Cutting and removing things. Not that I recommend this in the kitchen, but the sort of the major aspect of it, if you actually don't go down to the physics, a knife is a double inclined plane which places pressure on a fibrous tissue. So the fibers that you are cutting, or ultimately you are cutting fibers, have the pressure of this inclined plane and pull aside. Now, if you've got a blunt knife, your fibers will tend to bend, and if they're bending, they'll tend to bend upwards. So, actually, you've got your bottom layer and your top layer. So, if you imagine your piece of meat in a flat section, the thing for me, I think, for cutting, is to have some sort of way of holding that top layer flat, and so it actually rather than it bends up and away from your cutting edge, and actually you start to actually slide upwards into an ever thinner layer. You've got that top layer grabbed. So if you can have some method of holding your top layer down once you've cut a certain depth, holding a fork to hold that layer down, or a very thin pair of tongs, flat tongs, which can actually grab your top layer of meat and hold the tension there. So your top layer of meat's got a tension backward and you've got a tension forward. You can actually cut with a reasonably blunt knife. My overall practical view is that, yes, we can introduce some technology to actually get some acoustic feedback for knife sharpening, if that is indeed the way. And, of course, I asked, well, where's this knowledge from? And they said, oh, well, we have the knife sellers educate us, because they want to sell the right knife to the right customer, the knowledgeable customer. And it all goes wrong if you sell a very expensive knife to a customer which requires knowledge, and they pay the money and it doesn't produce the result. They at no point do they actually think, oh, I need skill to do it. And so this entire skill idea is actually sold through it. So for me, what I think is interesting is the more scientific approach, where you start to question things and link with the knowledge. This is the medical ultrasonic knives, which you can, ultrasonic scalpels, it's called, with ultrasound on the outside. The techniques, and the fact that you, getting the person to continually hone a knife is not to keep the blade sharp, but to actually keep the skill sharp. So I think that's an interesting aspect to it, and it's very interesting how people put a lot of store on the sharpness of the knife when there's actually a whole lot of intellectual layer. The final aspect is that there's probably some good mechanics that you can employ, not associated with the knife, but with the holding of what you're cutting on two layers. If you're cutting a thin slice, being able to hold that top slice back so it doesn't curve forward, and look about that. And obviously I would say, if you've got a dull knife, just accept it and take a little bit more time, and don't obviously increase the pressure beyond the cutting. So if you increase the pressure, you will just increase the folding process. You won't increase your cut rate. So again, the aim of this, as Peter Hill explains, is to be able to get an area and learn to explain it in a podcast form, to build up my overall expertise as part of my rehab of getting back into the classroom. Thanks for listening. I hope this has been some interest and sparked up some interest in most people. And of course, if you're not interested in knife sharpening, you probably wouldn't have actually clicked on this and actually bothered to listen to it. But if you have, I hope the actual techniques are of interest to you. The idea of this knowledge being embedded and hidden from the customers has been interested, and the ability to actually approach things in a more scientific method and explain what's going on. This is Peter Hill Explains. Thanks for listening.